And away we go, ladies and gentlemen. It is Tuesday, and we are live once again at the College Football Hall of Fame here in Atlanta, Georgia. That was very loud, and it wasn't supposed to be.
Yeah, that's I'm awake. Man, I'm awake. I thought I was awake. Apparently, I was not. Now I am.
Now you is. Welcome in, folks. Great to have you. I am Rob Brown. The great one, Lonzo, is that other sultry, seductive voice that you hear this beautiful Georgia morning. Well, it's a beautiful Georgia morning for me, I'm assuming. Well, I know for a fact, as you were listening on the radio, that for the overwhelming majority of you, a beautiful upstate South Carolina morning. Great to have you with us here for day two of the Southeastern Conference Media Days, live again from the College Football Hall of Fame here in Atlanta, Georgia. What a day we had yesterday. Just an incredible event yesterday, and I know today going to be much more of the same. As on the docket yesterday, we did have the South Carolina Gamecocks batting leadoff, along with Brian Kelly, his family, and the rest of the LSU Tigers, and then wrapped it up in the afternoon with Ole Miss and Vanderbilt. And I'm going to say before anything else here, great one, Joey Freshwater showed up in Gucci sneakers, legit, like
name brand. How do you recognize a Gucci sneaker? Is there a G on it?
I don't. There are two interlocking G's, one of them facing forward, one of them facing backwards. They form like a little logo kind of thing. And as I was sitting here in my perch, nestled right above the stage where the head coaches deliver their keynote addresses in the AM, as I was sitting up here watching Lane Kiffin, I looked down and saw that the footwear was obviously something designer. And so I took my Google Pixel with the incredible photographic technology established in that phone, and I zoomed in on the footwear thinking, I gotta know what Lane Kiffin is rocking in the kicks department. And as soon as I zoomed in, I was like, oh, Lane showed up Gucci.
Don't you feel a little voyeuristic, though, doing that sort of thing from your perch?
No, he's like right there. Like,
yeah, but
I can't,
dude, you're zooming.
I can't not do it.
You're zooming on the feet, and that's a little odd for you. But I mean,
but if somebody is dropping, and I did not go look at the price of Lane Kiffin's footwear, but if I'm expecting that they are slightly more than the $21. White Target kicks that are on my feet right now.
I have them up right now. Let's see. The first thing that pops up is $950.
Yeah, that's ballparking it.
Yeah, there's some for $1,190. Yeah, we're right around $1,000. I am not wearing $1,000 shoes. Even if I were rich like him,
Lonzo, I spent about $100. With them customized, designed, embroidered, personalized, whatever. All the things that I got done for my wedding kicks, which were, they matched my wedding suit perfectly. They were the same color. They were trimmed out in gold. Like, everything I did to give myself the J's, the Jordans that I wore for my wedding, I went in the hole for about $160 for those shoes. I have worn them twice since I got married. They don't come out of the box unless I am doing something extraordinarily special, A. And B, that I'm doing something extraordinarily special in a place I know that's clean, right? Like if I break out the wedding suit, which I'm going to, as much money as that whole ensemble costs, the wedding suit's coming out of retirement for an event. Like when I did the South Carolina Football Hall of Fame dinner a few weeks ago, I broke out the wedding suit. I think I broke it out one time before that. Oh, I was emceeing a nice event for the Greenville Triumph, and I broke out the green wedding suit for that. Both of those events were for the wedding suit. The Triumph event was inside at a nice establishment, so I broke out the J's. the other event, the South Carolina Football Hall of Fame event, was an inside-outside affair, including walking around in kind of a, I don't know how to, like an outdoor bar facility, but it was out with like kind of a common ground. I did not break the Jays back out for that because I'm like not walking around where it's 30. Those were like $1.60. My man Lane shows up stomping around yesterday in some $1,100, and they were sneakers, like straight up tennis shoes. They weren't like formal dress shoes, the finest of Italian leathers and seamsmanship or whatever.
Yeah, the ones I'm looking at are they black? What I would call tennis shoes. No, I'm looking at white ones. I mean, there's looks like an Argyle style.
I mean, there's
different styles, but they just look like tennis shoes.
Yeah, I mean, they are. I got nothing for you. My dog Lane, Joey Fresher. And by the way, if you're going to roll up into this Bia rocking $1,100 shoes, I'm calling you Joey Freshwater for the day. Like, that's a Joey Freshwater move. Lane Kiffin, no. Joey Freshwater, absolutely. But we got a chance to spend a few minutes yesterday with a number of celebrities and media personalities. Got to spend about 3 minutes real quick. Unfortunately, we did not get the opportunity to sit down with Shane Beamer or Lenora Sellers. And I'm gonna tell you this, man. Lenora Sellers yesterday, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about the experience and the vibe around the Gamecocks a little bit later in the show. Lenora Sellers, if he is not the most sought-after athlete at this entire event, I will be shocked. If Lenora Sellers isn't the most requested, if Lenora Sellers isn't the most discussed, if Lenora Sellers isn't the most sought-after athlete at this event, when it wraps up, I will be shocked. Because yesterday, when the Gamecocks arrived about 8 a.m., it was very evident and obvious they were in the building. Now, this setup is a little different from the setup at, say, ACC Media Days. At ACC Media Days, when the players and the coaches from each team arrive, the first thing they do is they make their way into the upstairs ballroom where Radio Row is. And it is very obvious when Dabo Swinney and Cade Klubnik and the boys arrive. When they walk into the media row, there is a bit of a scrum to get close, to get pictures, to try to be one of the first people that gets sound out of them, whatever. That is not the way that it operates here. When these guys get here to SEC Media Days, they are secreted in through the back of the Omni Hotel next door, but they make their way when they are coming into SEC Media Day. There is down in the rotunda, which is the entrance to the Football Hall of Fame. They come from the hotel entrance, which is on the other side. And then they have, I don't know really else how to describe it, they have like a game day tunnel set up. So when they come from the hotel and they walk through the rotunda to get into the building, there is a kind of a game day tunnel. It's barricaded. It's roped off on both sides. And on the right-hand side, all the media can line up to snap pictures of the players and coaches as they make their way in. And on the other side, there were yesterday 80, 90 South Carolina fans lined up against the rope. Now, I was obviously up here broadcasting, but I can see the rotunda from where I am. And it was very obvious when the Gamecock fans were all lined up. It was very obvious when Shane and Lenore's and the gang showed up. But then throughout the rest of the day, because they started doing their discussions, there are down in the pit behind me, in the media hole behind me, there are two press conference, small table press conference setups in both corners, along with the big stage right behind me that the coaches give their speeches in. And what they have been doing the last couple of days is when the coach is giving a speech on the far side of the tunnel, on the far side of the media pit, which is about 40 yards away, they will have one of the players giving a Q&A to the media assembled down there. And then when they're done, the next guy will rotate in, the next guy will rotate in, and then by the time that the three players are done and the coach is done with his keynote, the coach will make his way down there and he will give a more Q&A oriented presser. Greg Sankey did the same thing yesterday. We are going to have sound clips from everybody who spoke yesterday throughout the course of the show, including, by the way, a full interview that we did yesterday with both DQ Smith of the South Carolina Gamecocks and Nick Barrett. We also got a chance yesterday to speak on air to Jay Busby, national writer for YahooSports.com, who covers the South Carolina Gamecocks. We're going to play back not his whole interview, but a portion of it where he talked about both the University of Georgia, he covers the Bulldogs here in Atlanta, and the Gamecocks of South Carolina as he covers the SEC at large for Yahoo Sports. So we will play you back all three of those interviews throughout the course of the radio program today. But when I was yesterday, once Lenora Sellers showed up, once the Gamecocks showed up, it was very obvious that the discussion was entirely centered around him. When I got off of the show yesterday, I did, I think, three different interviews for other podcasts and other radio stations. I have kind of become, as I believe, the only radio outlet here that is covering the South Carolina Gamecocks, I have kind of become the de facto Gamecock guy here on Radio Row. So as a matter of fact, you want to talk about fun, so you'll appreciate this. And anybody who's been listening to the show for any length of time, right over there is a setup for the Texas A&M Aggies Live podcast. It is the Rivals site for the Texas A&M Aggies. And it is hosted by a gentleman named David Nuno. About 17 years ago, when I was broadcasting down in Destin, Florida, David Nuno, who was at the time working for then Sporting News Radio, which eventually became Yahoo Sports Radio, which I don't even know what it is anymore, Nuno was working as a nationally syndicated host for Sporting News Radio. And he was down in Destin vacationing with his family, and I was doing my night show. This is back when I worked, I think, 9 to midnight or 9 to 1 a.m. or something like that. I was 25, 26. I was very early in my career. And Nuno heard me, called the station to introduce himself and say hello. And we talked for a couple of minutes after my show. David Nuno started having me on Sporting News Radio as a college football contributor for him. I was on that network for a number of years. In fact, my time on that network as a guest is ultimately what got me a number of other jobs that led to me being here in 2025. So I got the chance to reconnect with David Nuno. And Nuno said, can I get you on my pod? Can I ask you about South Carolina? Obviously, between last year's game with Texas A&M and the fact that you guys are visiting Kyle Field, could I get you on to talk a little bit about the Gamecocks and give your thoughts on Texas A&M? And so I sat there, great one, because this is a videoed podcast. I sat there in front of two studio lights and two of the biggest cameras I've ever seen, holding an Aggies Live Mic flag, and did about a 12-minute conversation with David Nuno on video. And not one time did I call them a cult. Not one time did I say, David, I think you're in a cold and I think you need some help. I was very proud of myself.
I just can't believe you went on the thing at all. And then you went there and didn't do it. I mean, you know, I get being respectful and you're representing the station and all that stuff. I understand that you have to be professional. But were you tempted at all?
So close.
Just break
so
into
close.
A cheer and do your hand thing.
So close. In fact, I will play it for you a little later on. Actually, I'll send it to you right now, great one. But it was funny enough that I got done with that interview because Nuno, and you don't have to worry about it, all right? But Nuno goes, what have you been doing? Where are you at? And so I told him, I said, I'm in Greenville. I love it. And he goes, when we got done, he's like, hey, man, you ever thought about maybe covering a college football team in person? And I was like, well, I do it with South Carolina Clemson. He goes, yeah, but He goes, you ever thought about coming down to College Station? Would that be something you're interested in? And I was like, David, I love you. I don't know how many zeros it would take for you to put on a paycheck to get me out of Greenville, South Carolina to go to College Station, Texas. But I know that there's a few of them that you need to put on the paycheck. So he's like, all right, man, well, we ain't that big time, but maybe one day. And I'm like, yeah, great to talk to you. Like, absolutely, sure, whatever. So I walked away. And then, like, 10 minutes later, I was standing over on the other side. And I can't really explain it unless you go look at it on my Instagram, on my Twitter or my TikTok, at the Rob Brown Show. But a couple of minutes later, I quite literally just immediately made a TikTok making fun of Texas A&M that I posted publicly, and I know he follows me, so we're going to see how that goes. Great. Right across from me, on the other side of the CFBHOF, there is, Lonzo, an exhibit for college football cheerleaders, right? Like, they have this big round tunnel, glass cylinder kind of thing, and inside it are the uniforms of some of the more famous college football cheerleading squads, right? So they got, like, the LSU Golden Girls. They got one of their gold sequin unitards. They've got the USC Song Girls with their sweater and long skirt combination. They've got the TCU cheerleaders with their vest and hot shorts. And then in the middle of this glass exhibit that has some of the most famous cheerleading outfits from all of college football, with the Washington Huskies with their big W sweater, and who else? Oh, the Oregon Ducks, because we all know Oregon's cheerleaders outfits, which is the shortest skirt in the world and a sports bra and nothing else, all green. In this big exhibit rotunda of the most famous cheerleading outfits in all of college football, and I when I say I laughed out loud at this, I am not exaggerating. I walked up to it, I saw it, and I was kind of walking the circle because they've got, you know, I'm a big sign guy, they got signs everywhere, and they're like, the USC Song Girls were established this year, and they're famous for this, and the Oregon Ducks cheerleaders, since they started switching to these uniforms, have traveled this many places. I walked around this exhibit reading signs about some of the historic cheerleading units in college football, and when I got to the other side, what do I see displayed prominently but a USC Yell Leader mannequin with his little towel up, whipping it around, and all I could think of was, one of these things is not like the others. One of these things just doesn't belong, and it's you, Aggies. It's always you.
See, I was going to ask, after your wonderful performance on that podcast, if you went out to buy some overalls.
No. I will say that. Despite David's half joke, half not request to see if I would be interested in coming down to Texas A&M to cover the Aggies, I will say, Lonzo, that I made sure that when I went back to the break room, the Kool-Aid that they were serving for lunch, I didn't touch it. I didn't want none of it. They were serving a big old thing of Kool-Aid for everybody in the afternoon, and I said, nope, that's not from me, just in case I offended any Aggies.
You know what you could do, though? You could let your hair grow out and let your beard grow out and be all shaggy, and you could rock those overalls as you're getting paid to cover the Yell Leaders.
Oh, here's the thing, Lonzo. They're a military school. And by that, I mean they're an agricultural school where their cheerleaders wear dumb military uniforms, though they haven't been connected with the military since the 40s. Oh, if I went to A&M, it would be clean-shaven, short hair. Oh, no, I would not fit in well with the Aggies because, again, they're a cult. So there's that. All right, guys, we are working on getting the stream up. I do hope to have it up and running for you throughout the course of the day today. We're going to go back and revisit our interview with Jay Busby from yesterday, national writer from Yahoo Sports. Talked a little bit about the Bulldogs and the Gamecocks. We're going to hear from DQ Smith, defensive back for the Gamecocks. We're going to hear from Nick Barrett, senior defensive tackle for the Gamecocks. And I'll let you know what interviews we have set up for the rest of this glorious Tuesday live from the College Football Hall of Fame. It is the Rob Brown Show, a very special edition presented by our friends at Ingles here on the Fan Upstate. Live from the College Football Hall of Fame, this is the Rob Brown Show. This is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown with you today. The great one, Lonzo, back in the network studio. Great to have all of you with us this beautiful Tuesday morning as we roll through day two of the Southeastern Conference Media Days. Wanted to talk for just a moment about the experience yesterday to get us started here. The Gamecocks showed up about 8 a.m. They were the morning session, one of the two teams in the morning session, along with the LSU Fighting Tigers at a Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And there were two things about the Gamecocks day yesterday that jumped off the page at me. The first thing that jumped off the page at me yesterday was the fact that it was very clear and evident that Lenoris Sellers will be, along with Arch Manning, I believe, the two most visible and sought after athletes in the Southeastern Conference. When the Gamecocks arrived here about 8 a.m. yesterday, and there was no announcement about what time they would roll into the College Football Hall of Fame. We knew when they posted in the AM that they were getting on an airplane from Columbia to fly here. But outside of that, there wasn't any announcement that, oh, they'll be walking through the CFB Hall of Fame entrance at blank o'clock in the morning. They just kind of knew they were on the way and that was it. So where I'm sitting here on the second floor of the College Football Hall of Fame, when I look down to my left, I can see the entrance, the rotunda, where the teams are walking in. And there is a de facto game day tunnel set up when the teams come in. On the facing out right side, there is a rope, and the media has access to that side, so we can go down there and snap pictures of the players and the coaches as they interact with the fans who are on the other side of the tunnel. And there is a partition that runs across the entrance to the College Football Hall of Fame, which is shut down for SEC Media Days. There is a rope, and so fans can come in the entrance, but they can't get past the rope, but they can interact with the players and the coaches as they walk by. And I assume that when Georgia and Kirby Smart have their media day, that is probably going to be absolutely packed when they come through. There was a healthy contingent of Gamecock fans down there yesterday, and once they came through, that area largely cleared out. Though most of the activity of Shane Beamer and Lenoris Sellers and the rest of the Gamecocks was taking place while we were on the air, as I am sitting perched above the media pit looking down below me where the coaches give their keynote address and where the two press conference tables are to be used throughout the day, I've got a pretty good view of what's happening down there. And any time that Lenoris Sellers was moving from spot A to spot B, whether it was from the first press conference table to the second, or it was from the main stage to the SEC network stage, or it was from wherever down in the media pit, he had, and this included Vanderbilt quarterback Diego Pavia, who was here yesterday, Lenoris Sellers had without doubt and question the largest contingent of media following him around. Then, during the day yesterday, as Lenoris and Shane Beamer were taking their tour of Digital Drive, or as we call it in the old school, Radio Row, any time that they would bounce from station to station, and I will keep it a buck, Lenoris and Shane were primarily doing the big national outlets, right? So they were doing Greg McElroy's podcast, and they were doing Josh Pate is over there doing his show live from SEC Media Days, and Crane and Company are here doing their big pod that has gone national the last couple of years. As I looked around and watched these guys, they were primarily doing, Shane and Lenoris, the big national shows. DQ Smith and Nick Barrett, who I'm very grateful took a few minutes to chat, were doing most of the local radio outlets yesterday. As I watched Shane and Lenoris make their way around the building, whenever they would move from show A to show B, they were being followed by a relatively large media contingent of people asking a question or two while they're walking. Now, we are, as they are at ACC Media Days as well, which we've covered the last couple of years, the players, as they are making their way around, the players are not to be interrupted, right? Like, they are on a tight schedule. They are on a tight schedule from finishing up one interview and getting to the next. So if you are walking with them, you can't stop them. You can pretty much put a camera in their face, hold up a Twitter microphone or whatever, and you got a question maybe or two, and you're not the only one. These two guys, in fact, around 11:30 or so, I was sitting here, I was cutting up some audio that we're going to play for you on the show today. But as I was sitting here cutting up audio, Shane walked right in front of me. And when he walked by, there had to be 25, 30 people following him, media people with cameras and microphones trying to get clips. Lenoris walked by about 6 minutes later, making his way up to the front because most of the big national streams, CBS, ESPN, all of the big networks, they're up in the front of the College Football Hall of Fame. When Lenoris walked by, man, he looked like a rock star. I mean, a gaggle of folks that were following him. And over the past, 24 hours, as I have kind of become one of the South Carolina guys here, I believe we're the only local station that is covering South Carolina here at Media Days, I got asked to go on a couple of interviews yesterday on different stations and different networks. And when I did, the heart and soul of the conversation on every one of them was almost exclusively, hey, tell us about Lenoris Sellers. Tell us about who this guy is. Tell us about what this guy's doing. Tell us about what makes him special. You know, we heard about the $4 million NIL offer that his father said he turned down. Why would he do that? Tell us about this. Tell us about the other. This guy is, I am going to say, going to be one of the top, I would say, two or three most visible college football players this year. I think we know the biggest names. Arch Manning is obviously at the top of this list. Lonzo's wide receiver, Jeremiah Smith, is obviously at the top of this list. There are a handful of guys, most of them the Heisman favorites. Garrett Nussmeier at LSU, Kate Klubnik at Clemson, Julian Sand at Ohio State. There are a handful of guys, but I think when you look at those, you are looking at guys who are playing for teams that are considered nationally to be national championship contenders. Arch Manning playing at Texas. They are an odds-on favorite. Garrett Nussmeier at LSU, considered maybe not a championship favorite, but certainly a playoff favorite, certainly a team that is expected to perform, mainly only to save Brian Kelly's job. Cade Klubnik at Clemson, national championship contender. Jeremiah Smith and Julian Sayin at Ohio State, championship contender. Drew Aller at Penn State, championship contender, and guy who is expected to be a top three, top five pick in the NFL draft next year. Dante Moore at Oregon. If Oregon can win the Big Ten again this year, championship contender. Lenoris Sellers, I think, playing for South Carolina, who is not a national championship contender, at least not in the eyes of the national media. Now, we're going to hear some clips from Shane Beamer on his press conference yesterday. In fact, he got into a bit of a heated debate with Paul Feinbaum yesterday because Feinbaum effectively said to Shane that winning the SEC is not possible for South Carolina. It's a paraphrase. It's pretty close. He did it so in a way, and good on Paul. He's the ace. He did so in a way that he didn't explicitly say, y'all can't win the conference. But he kind of tiptoed around that sentiment yesterday morning. And Shane wasn't really having it. He said, look, we have everything we need to do all that we need to do at South Carolina. Now, I was on with Colin Diesel yesterday afternoon, and I pointed out that there's a little politicking here, and I'm not upset about it. It's part of the job of a head football coach at a major university is to politic a little bit. But Shane never specifically said what it is that they have all they need to do it. He didn't say, well, it's win the SEC championship or it's make the playoff or it's go to a major bowl. He didn't specifically say any of that. And that is why later on in the week, I'm going to ask you, what is it? In fact, we may even do that today. What is it? What is the thing that we believe is it that South Carolina can do when Shane Beamer says that? But he pushed back on Paul a little bit and he said, look, we have all we need to do what we need to do. And being the star, as Lenoris is, of a team that is on the outside looking in the eyes of the national media and in the eyes of college football fans nationally, yet still to be a guy that is inside the top 7 or 8 shortest odds to win the Heisman, to still be a guy that is being tossed around as a Davey O'Brien winner, to still be a guy that is being discussed as a front runner for best quarterback in the United States of America at the college football level this year, it was evident yesterday that the eyes of the college football world are going to be turned on this kid this year. It was evident yesterday that he is going to be getting the majority of the attention for South Carolina, sure, but it is evident that he is being viewed by the national media as a dude that is going to be discussed a lot this year. He was walking around yesterday looking like an absolute rock star with a gaggle of groupies following him around. So the pressure's on this kid. The pressure's on this young man, because how many times have we said, as goes Lenore Sellers, go the Gamecocks? And I think it's a fair statement to make. If he lives up to the expectations, Shane Beamer will accomplish it. So when we come back, let's talk about what it is. Bill Clinton style. It depends on what your definition of the word is. What is it? What is the goal? We'll talk about that next on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. It is the Rob Brown Show, live from the College Football Hall of Fame here in Atlanta, Georgia, for day number 2 of SEC Media Days. We are glad to have you along for the ride. The stream, by the way, is up and running for those of you that missed us yesterday. Worry not, my dear friends. We're back. You're welcome. Took a little technological resourcefulness on behalf of your boy to get it all worked out. But alas, we have accomplished the impossible. Reach for the stars. Even if you miss, you'll land on the moon or whatever that stupid expression is. That.
Yeah, I don't think I heard that you'll land on the moon before.
No, yeah, it's the other way around. Shoot for the moon. Even if you miss, you'll land among the stars, which is dumb because the nearest star is like 4.5 million light years away. So you're like, you're never going to get there.
Unless we
invent like cryostasis or something.
And if you're not in a vehicle, if you shoot for the moon and you miss, you're out in space floating and you're going to die.
Yeah, there's also that. So I believe it is intended to be metaphorical, but you know. All right, here's the question that I would like to pose to you, Gamecocks. And I will tell you that because yesterday was getting a lay of the land, was getting used to what was going on, I promise I will be more active on the text line today. The text line is up and running, the Hub City Spartanburger text line at 844-326-3663, 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E. I would like to ask you the question this morning, what is it for Shane Beamer and the Gamecocks? And here's why I ask that question. Yesterday morning, Shane was on the SEC Network with Paul Feinbaum and the rest of the talking heads on ESPN. And Paul Feinbaum, paraphrasing, and did not openly say this, but he effectively insinuated that the South Carolina Gamecocks cannot win the Southeastern Conference. And if we are being objective in this conversation, I don't think that is harsh. Some of you might. This is, every year, a difficult conference. And this year has not just a pair of front runners for the national championship in the Texas Longhorns and the Georgia Bulldogs, but there are also a host of other teams that are desperate and right on the cusp. I talk, of course, about the Alabama Crimson Tide under Kalen DeBoer. Kalen DeBoer, how many times have we said, nobody wants to be the dude that follows the dude, but even worse than that, nobody wants to be the guy who follows the goat. And he steps into the shoes of Nick Saban. This is year number two. And unfortunately for Kalen DeBoer, there are two things working against him. The first is that he is following Nick Saban. This is a guy that got Alabama fans used to being in the national championship conversation every single year. And those expectations have not gone anywhere and probably will not for a number of years. So Kalen DeBoer is expected to have this team in that conversation. The second thing that Kalen DeBoer is having to deal with this year is the fact that expectations are elevated and he brings an entirely different flavor of coaching to that school. Whereas Nick Saban was, I don't know what other word to use here. The only word I have is the word that my father would use to describe him, which is he's a hard ass man. He's the Nick-tator. He is a dude that it is going to be my way all the time, no question. And if you got a problem with that, you can go play your college football somewhere else. Kalen DeBoer doesn't have that vibe about him. In fact, there was a big conversation going down in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, just a few weeks ago during spring practices, because apparently, after one of the spring practices were over, Kalen DeBoer had an ice cream truck show up at spring practice so that the boys could get themselves a frozen little sweet treat out on the field in the Tuscaloosa sunshine. Now, I don't really have a problem with that, all right? But I'm not an Alabama fan. It doesn't really matter if I have a problem with that or not. A lot of Alabama fans did, because that is not the Nick Saban way. Now, despite the fact that Nick would take the boys out and they would go tubing out on the lake and whatever, he had fun with the guys. But I think it's more of an optics thing, and a dumb one, but an optics thing to a lot of fans. The LSU Tigers are in this division. I don't know that Brian Kelly is yet on the hot seat. I do know that in my conversations yesterday around SEC Media Days, a lot of people here think he might be, or that if he is not, that if LSU does not reach the playoffs this year, that if LSU is not in the last week of the season at least a contender for the SEC championship, that Brian Kelly will be on the hot seat this year. They've got the talent. We talked about the most visible players in college football. Garrett Nussmeier is one of them. In fact, I heard Peter Burns yesterday from the SEC Network, who will be joining us this afternoon about 1:20. We will cut up that interview for you and play it back for you on tomorrow's show. Peter Burns, who I got the chance to speak to for 2 or 3 minutes yesterday, said he believes that Garrett Nussmeier may be the best returning quarterback in college football this year and expects a whale of a season out of him. That's a good team. That is a team that will be competing for an SEC championship this year. We have mentioned the Georgia Bulldogs under Kirby Smart. That is a team that has national championship aspirations, not SEC title game aspirations, although they do have those. They have natty aspirations this year. So it is a deep conference. And that's not even to bring into the conversation Mike Elko in his second year at Texas A&M. I was on an A&M pod yesterday. They are electric around Mike Elko right now. That's not even to bring in Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss. He is very excited about his young quarterback this year, says that he thinks he can be better than Jackson Dart was at Ole Miss last year. So we're talking probably three teams that are legitimately national championship contenders and probably three to four more that are national championship hopefuls. So Paul Feinbaum kind of danced around Shane Beamer saying, you can't win the SEC title this year. It's too deep of a conference. And Shane Beamer responded to him by saying, we have everything we need to do what we want to do it. But he did not say what it is, whether it is get to the SEC championship, is it win the SEC championship, is it make it into the college football playoffs, either as conference champion or as an at-large selection, is it make it in and win a game, is it make it in and win and get to the quarters or the semis or the national championship. The only issue that I took yesterday with Shane Beamer, I shouldn't say from Shane Beamer, took a lot from Shane Beamer. We're going to play you some audio in the next hour of the show of what Shane had to say. But the only thing that I really took issue with from Shane Beamer was that we never really had the goals defined. Now, obviously, I think the goal for every coach is win a natty, win the conference, get to the playoffs. Sure. But I feel like, and I said this to DQ Smith, we'll play his interview in the next hour as well. I said to DQ yesterday, this feels like a university, a football program, that for the past couple of years, and I'm going to say this, and then Lonzo, I want your reaction to tell me if I'm being too harsh, I'm being too much of an idealistic. You give me your response to this. The last 4 years under Shane Beamer have been excellent in terms of culture building. The fans are beyond excited. We felt the buzz when he showed up. The welcome home banners are getting hung. That stadium in the three games I've been to is as electric as any stadium I've been to. The culture building in Columbia has been, chef's kiss, magnificent. But at some point, it's got to start translating to success. Now, obviously, last year, this team was one win away from the playoffs. If the LSU game flips, if the Alabama game flips, either one of those two L's, both of which were winnable games, one you lost because you shot yourself in the foot, one you lost, in my opinion, because you got it stolen from you by some guys in stripes. Either one of those two games flips the other way, I think the South Carolina Gamecocks are either the 11 or the 12 seed in the playoffs. But they weren't. That wasn't it this year. Last year. So is it fair to say that this year is a year where the expectations are that as a baseline? That be a game out at the absolute worst is an expectation? Or is it fair to say that we've done enough culture building, it's been 4 years, you're ingrained, you're established, all the guys in that roster are your guys now, it is time to translate this into the next level of success, which is be a contender for the SEC Conference Championship and to be in the playoffs. What is it this year, Lonzo?
Well, first of all, it took a while to get that Muschamp stank out of the building.
Sure.
And I think it's finally gone. And you see as it slowly left, because it didn't want to leave, that the fans started believing again. The team started believing again. I think you need to make the playoff this year, without a doubt, especially being that close last year. And as long as Lenore Sellers stays healthy, I think it's definitely a possibility.
I do too. And again, I know the war cry has kind of been, as go Lenoris, go the Gamecocks. And I don't think it's unfair. I will say this. I said this yesterday on, I forget, I was doing another radio show in, Texas. I don't remember. But I was doing another radio show, and I said, the expectations are high on this kid, and here's the reason why. And maybe we're putting too much pressure on the guy. I want to talk about this later in the show. Are we putting too much pressure on Lenoris Sellers? But the take I had yesterday was, this is the opportunity for South Carolina to have their Cam Newton. This is the opportunity for South Carolina to have their Tim Tebow. And I'm not saying that Lenora Sellers is going to reach the levels of Tim Tebow or reach the levels of Cam Newton. And obviously, he's likely only got 1 year left in Columbia. But this is the opportunity for South Carolina to have a guy that you know his jersey is going to be hanging in this building sometime in the future. And it feels to me if they do not accomplish something with him this year, whether that's contend for the SEC, be in the SEC championship game, be in the playoff, win a playoff game, win two, win three, make the natty, win the natty. It feels like if they don't accomplish something this year, that it might be the waste of their Cam Newton, their Tim Tebow. And I think that might be the biggest disappointment. South Carolina fans, what is it for you? What is a real goal that you believe Shane Beamer will say, we hit our goals this year? 844-326-3663. Text me your answer or use that number and call the show. 844-FAN-FONE. We'll talk more about this in the next hour. Time for a sports flash.
Speaking of hitting a goal, your 2025 Home Run Derby champion is Seattle's Cal, the Big Dumper, Raleigh. It's the first time I said it on the air. I'm sure Rob is proud. Raleigh faced Tampa's junior Caminero in the final, hitting 18 to Caminero's 15 in the last round. Raleigh becomes just the second Mariner to win the event behind Ken Griffey Jr., who won the event twice. The New York Jets have signed wide receiver the Garrett Wilson to a four-year, $130 million contract to stay with the team, including $90 million guaranteed. The contract marks the first time a wide receiver has been paid more than $31 million after just three seasons in the league. Philadelphia 76ers star Paul George has undergone arthroscopic knee surgery, according to sources. Surgery was in response to an injury suffered in practice and follows a season in which George played only 41 games due to a string of injuries. Guy can get a break, I guess.